as women, we are always taking care of our husbands, our children, our jobs, everyone else. But when it comes to loving ourselves, that's the hardest thing to do.
Greetings, friends. If you are a first-time listener, welcome. I am Shelley, your host. And if you are a returning listener, thank you. I am forever grateful for your support. This episode with Heather Schward was so inspiring and motivating. I don't even know if I have the words to describe this gal. She was motivating. She was inspiring. She was passionate. She was happy. In fact, she was so passionate that she pounded her table a couple of times during our conversation to get her point across. But Heather talks about her journey in her weight loss. She lost over 100 pounds. And she starts with when she was a child and her parents going through the divorce and just some trauma that she was dealing with throughout her childhood and her early adult life that, you know, was really the impetus for her weight gain and her low self-esteem. So she goes on a journey after she's told by a doctor that she is well on her way to a heart attack or stroke, and she loses 100 pounds and is now a triathlete. So I hope you get as much out of this episode as I did, because Heather is such a delight to talk to. But before we get started on this episode, I want to invite you to our Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group for women over 50. There's almost 700 of us in there, and it is titled the same as the podcast, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I will also drop the link in the show notes. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Heather.
Well, when I was 13 years old, my parents divorced. My mom told me she didn't love my dad anymore. I was not fit, but my mom and I would power walk around the neighborhood, my sisters and I, and she would bake everything. And then when we went from mom baking everything to living on the farm with grandma and grandpa, which you ate everything fried, nothing was baked. Grandma and grandpa loved cornbread, fried chicken, fried hush puppies, etc. You know, all the good old country food. My grandfather's favorite, I think, was pea soup with cornbread. And then, you know, dessert afterwards. But anyway, and so that's what contributed to my weight gain, but also the pain, or I would say the hurt from my parents' divorce. And we would go to school. When we would go to school, middle school and high school, my parents, the kids in my town, we all went to the same church. It was a small town. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew everybody. And so we were the talk of the town. We didn't wear the same clothes that the other kids wore. We didn't wear as nice of church clothes. We were picked on for that. In school, we were called names. We were made fun of because our parents were getting a divorce, that our family was broken. So I just felt like I had nowhere else to turn. You know, grandma was always very encouraging, telling me to get my studies, that I'm smart, you know, focus on school. I had no outlet. So food was my outlet. I remember like going in there and getting a handful of grandma's chocolate chip cookies or just a handful of chocolate chips. And then also the pain, how it affected my dad's side of the family. They would put us girls down because they didn't like my mother. And just hearing the adults in our family talk horribly of us and, you know, our grandfather tell us we were the devil's children, you know, because of my mom, you know, and just hearing all kinds of negativity around you kind of makes you think you're this horrible person as a kid, as a 13-year-old girl, and then going to school. And so my sister went to try out for the track team in high school, so I figured I'd go with her. She's really tall, and I'm the shortest one of us four, and I'm next to the baby. And she decided she was going to try out for the track team, so I did in high school, trying to follow her lead because I knew I was gaining weight. And I would say I gained about 50 pounds at this time. She was chosen because she was taller, but I was shorter and faster. But you know, she just wanted to be popular and do something that other kids were doing. So she got chosen. So I love music. So I became a band nerd.
Oh,
and right.
Fellow band nerd. Once a bandy, always a bandy. All right.
Yes. I love music to this day. Yeah. And so I was in percussion during marching, and I played the flute during concert because band director convinced me to do so. You know, they needed flautists, as they call us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, and I really didn't have many friends. I had maybe two or three friends, and we still get picked on, called names by the other kids. And it just didn't make you feel very good. So anyway, ended up graduating high school, fast forward, and I went to college. I went to a two-year school, got my associate's in business. And then I'm in Georgia dating this guy, and I put on 50 more pounds within a, I would say, year span. And this guy, you know, would always tell me I was ugly and fat and that I needed to do something about it. And, you know, those childhood memories and those never coming back and just the hurt and the pain that I didn't know how to get over. Came back and I went to see my doctor because I wasn't feeling very good. And he told me, he said, Heather, you're pre-diabetic. You have high cholesterol. You're headed for a heart attack and stroke. I was 29. I was still in
Georgia. That's young.
And right. And, you know, here I am 100 pounds heavier. And so I didn't know what to do. He's like, oh, you need to hire a trainer. And I was like, what's that? And so he told me, and I didn't have the money. I didn't really look into it. I tried the Atkins diet. I figured if I tried a diet, I'd lose weight. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried the Atkins diet and it worked for a little while. And then I gained it all back. And then I tried a Christian weigh down diet. I became a Christian through this period again, you know, rededicated my life to the Lord. And I tried to see food as Jesus did, you know, like nourishment for the body, change my perspective, and, you know, tried to eat healthier and less. And that worked for a period of time, but it didn't. Ended up gaining the weight back. So I was looking at South Beach diet. And then I became really desperate because the guy that was living with me, my mom and stepfather lived with me. He was at work one night and I ended up started purging my food, start becoming bulimic because I didn't know what else to do. I was desperate. I wanted to lose weight. And so my mom, stepfather, and I were sitting at the dinner table one night and he goes, and we're sitting there talking. And I remember it to this day. And I got up, I said, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And I kind of walked briskly to the bathroom and my stepfather had a hunch and I thought I had locked the door. And here I am hovered over the toilet, and my stepfather told me this was a day that I was going to get help, that him and my mom had a suspicion that I was purging my food. Well, it was natural then. I didn't have to like purge because it had just, my body knew. So anyway, so he told me that was the day that I was going to get help, and I had insurance, I had a job. And then I went to see a psychologist to start changing my perspective on food and a nutritionist and things like that. And it didn't stick because I wasn't ready to change. I mean, I wasn't ready to change. So when the economy started tanking in 2004, I ended up losing my job with the state of Georgia. My mom and stepfather were moving to Connecticut. So I decided to move to Connecticut. And I ended up meeting my husband. Long story short, we got married. I moved to Las Vegas, where his job was, because we met online. And I went and saw the doctor, and I was 31 years old. And he goes, he tells me the same thing. He said, Heather, you're pre-diabetic, you have high cholesterol, you're headed for a heart attack and stroke, you know. And I was just like, another doctor already told me this. You know, I really don't care. I didn't care about myself. Yeah. Even though my husband loved me and showed me unconditional love like I've never experienced before. But learning to start to love myself was the hardest thing to do. And so he said, he looked at me in the eyes and he goes, Heather, you're like a 60-year-old on the inside who does not take care of themselves. And I was like, it resonated with me. I was 31. I was in my early 30s.
That's some tough love right there.
Right. He cared enough about me to just be brutally honest with me.
Yeah.
And so then he goes, you need to hire a personal trainer. And I was like, what's that? How do I do that? My husband was there with me. And so we went and joined the gym as a family. And I ended up meeting this lady. We ended up meeting this lady, my best friend and I, because we were walking the neighborhood. We didn't know what we were doing. I had no clue. And so she basically comes up to us on the treadmills and asks us if we knew what we were doing. really nicely.
Was it that obvious?
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, that looks cool. I want to go try that. And, you know, my best friend, she was on the JV swim team and track team. So she had an idea of what to do. Me, I had no clue. I had no athletic background. Yeah. I had zero fitness. I didn't know where to start. So, you know, she basically did our assessed us, and then we got two free sessions with her. We had two free sessions with her, and we went home, showed my husband after the second session, the training package. And, he ended up sneaking by the gym the next day and purchasing it to us and surprising us with our first training package. And that's how I got started.
Yeah. Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think I know the hardest step was actually taking that step and joining the gym. And then him loving me enough to purchase a training package to hold me accountable in a loving way and me actually be excited to start.
Yeah.
Huh. You know? And
you know, your story is similar to a lot of people's stories, you know, especially mine, the whole grandparents thing. My grandfather actually died of a heart attack. They ate pork chops and gravy and biscuits, you know, like every meal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, we were raised like that. But more importantly is that what you and I talked about before we started our conversation was these adverse childhood experiences.
Yes.
And there's a lot of research out there now. And for the listeners, it's a test you can go through, and there's these adverse experiences, much like you talked about, divorce, emotional abuse, you know, trauma in your life that you carry through to adulthood, and it manifests itself in ways. Like for you, it manifested itself in you being overweight and mm-hmm. having an eating disorder. So, I mean, like, it's absolutely a real thing. But for mm-hmm. those people who don't know, you, I was on your website, and you were bulimic when you say yes. You were purging. So if you could just briefly tell our listeners what that is, what bulimia, what that means.
Bulimia is, making yourself throw your food up.
Okay. So you like, is it like binge and purge?
Yes. But okay. you eat as much as you want, and then you purge. You make yourself throw up.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
I thought that was the only other way. I thought that, you know, the less I ate, I tried that on the Christian Way Down diet, that the less I ate, the better off I was. Well, then I was like, well, why not just try to start purging my food? You know, maybe I'll lose weight that way. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about the nourishment part.
Yeah.
And, you know, the effect it has on my esophagus and digestive system to this
right.
day.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when you're desperate, you don't think about those things. You just want to feel better.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then you joined the gym and you lost a lot of weight. You lost how many pounds?
100.
100 pounds. Holy cow.
Yes.
And you look fantastic. I mean, you really
Thank
do.
Thank you.
And so that journey of losing weight started with that gym, that day at the gym,
mm-hmm.
and your husband buying. But you have, the gym's a great thing, but you have graduated onto this really big thing. I was telling, for our listeners, I was telling Heather, I was on her website before we got on here, and I was just like so impressed with your athletic ability. So why don't you tell our listeners what you do today?
Well, I am a personal trainer and a triathlon coach.
And triathlon is?
A swim, a bike, and a run. And I'm not going to say it like the lady who convinced me to do my first one, just a swim, a bike, and a run. No, it's been, yeah, right? It's been an amazing journey of overcoming obstacles, overcoming fear, overcoming, I tell people all the time, weight loss is more of an emotional journey than it is physical. Your body can do anything it's put to the test to do, but our minds, because we're adults and we think, and that's what we do all day. we overthink things. We hold ourselves back with our minds. If we change our perspective and our outlook, we can do much, much more. We hold ourselves back. Our emotions do, our fears do. But, you know, learning to face our fears. Because when she convinced us to do one, she asked us to come back with athletic goals. I said, look, girl, I just want to keep losing weight and feeling good and looking good. For, you know, this is my first time in my life ever feeling good about myself. She said, oh, well, we need to change our focus from weight loss to something else. She goes, I'm training for this triathlon. Why don't you guys try it? And I was like, I don't know what a triathlon is. She's, it's just a swim, a bike, and a run. Because she had swam in college and ran in college. You're talking to somebody who's not done either one of those things. Mm-hmm. I was pushed in the pond by my younger sister facetiously while we were fishing. And my dad was right there. And grandfather, and my dad had to dive in and save me. And he told me, don't go any further than what you could touch. So learning how to swim in an open lake and going further than what I could touch, it's been coming up in my Facebook memories.
I was just going to say, I saw a memory where you were so excited that you had swam out to some point.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I saw that on your Facebook feed.
Yes, the first buoy. Yeah. And then the second buoy. And then I was swimming 32 laps in the pool, and how that is nothing to me today, you know, 9 years later. It's just amazing what you can accomplish if you just let go and let God, you know, and just the support that you have around you on the journey. Like, my husband has been so supportive. My best friend was very supportive. Our trainer was very supportive. You know, she would come out to the lake with us, and she knew the swim was my hindrance. I mean, I was kind of scared getting on the bike because last time I got on the bike, I fell off and I didn't know how to run, but those were easier to me because I had some sort of control.
Right, right.
But in the open water, you have no control over the waves. You have control over your stroke and, you know, your awareness and what you do in the water, if you panic or not. And that's all I did until I got to that first buoy without hyperventilating, panicking. When I knew that I knew that I knew how to swim in the pool and I could translate that to the open water, that made the biggest difference for me. Facing that fear every week and having the support and love of the people around me for the first time in my life made the biggest difference in my confidence as an athlete.
Yeah. So much to unpack here, but we always look at the outer transformation, which is fantastic. I mean, it's good for you. It's healthy, you know, the outer transformation. But really what has to happen is that inner work, like you were just talking about, letting go of the fear. And I can't remember what else you said, but moving past all of that and getting out of your own way. Because I would think that if you had this amazing physical transformation just by sheer determination and you didn't do that inner work, you would gain all that weight back.
You would.
Something else would happen.
Yes. I was asked when I was interviewed by the Tampa Bay Times and by the local news stations here, how have I kept it off? Well, for one, my doctor told me I had food allergies back then. When I was 31 years old, he said I was allergic to gluten, corn, and that kind of holds me accountable. But the fact that I get to give other people hope each and every day, that right there holds me accountable to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk, to be the example for my clients, to show them that it is possible to transform your lifestyle. Is it hard some days? Yes. Do I want to get up at 4 a.m. some days? No. But I have to tell myself, I get to do this. I get to get up and give others hope. I get to get up and run. I get to get up and swim, bike, strength training. I get to do this. It's all about balance and how it fits into your life, seeing it as an outlet. That's the way a lot of people see it. A lot of age group athletes. I mean, we're not the pros and we got to fit this into our lifestyle, but just the fact that I get to give other people hope. And if they're looking to me for direction, I want to be the example for them and show them that, you know, I've kept this weight off for almost 10 years. It's, it's not been easy. But when I realized after I lost the 100 pounds, I knew that I was supposed to be helping people, but I didn't know what, because when I met my husband back in Connecticut, I was enrolled in school to be a social worker, you know, to get my bachelor's degree in counseling.
My bachelor's degree is in social work. We have a lot in common.
Yes, we do. And so when God shut that door, you know, I'd registered and everything. And then I ended up meeting the love of my life almost 13 years later. I'm still married to the same wonderful man. But, you know, I thought I was supposed to be a social worker or a counselor. Who knew that I was going to move to Las Vegas and lose 100 pounds and then realize what it did for me? Because I asked my trainer, I said, do you think I'll make a good trainer? And she goes, absolutely. She said, I think you'll be great with beginners because you know what it's like to start with zero fitness. Somebody like her who has been athletic her whole life doesn't know what it's like to be someone like myself who really didn't feel like they haven't had any hope. That this was going to be their life. That, like, I settled for that guy in Georgia.
Yeah.
I settled by making myself bulimic. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't think I could do any better at 31. And I'm 43 now. And I feel like I'm in my 30s. Is it hard to prep? Yes. Is it hard to balance that and working out and, you know, training clients? Absolutely. But do I love it? Yes.
I'm going to tell you that a lot of social work is helping people change their lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think it's important, and I'm going to say this too, is find someone supportive in your life because, you know, you can hoe that row yourself. But if you have someone that's going to support you, it's much easier. It's been my experience. And if you have people in your life that aren't supporting you in this journey, then kick them to the curb.
Yes.
You don't need that kind of negativity in your life. Mm-hmm. So here's what I always pop on my, I always tell my guests before we wrap up. Well, first of all, how can people find you? What I know that you offer services. How can they find you? I'll pop those down in the show notes too, but just a brief recap of the services you provide.
I provide weight management services, triathlon and duathlon and personal training virtual. You can find me 2020customfitness.com. There is a 5-minute assessment that you can take that is emailed directly to me that tells me a lot about you. And you can go in and schedule your 30-minute discovery call. It's free to you. Mm-hmm. And then we can start your journey from there, figure out what your next steps are, because everybody's next steps are different.
Exactly. So Heather, before I let you go, what is one thing that my listeners, predominantly women over 50, what is one action they can take today if they're on a fitness journey? That they could do. They're on a fitness journey. They want to start a fitness journey. What's the one thing that they can do today?
The one thing they can do today is take that first step. That I think it's the hardest step. It's not that I think, I know it's the hardest step. Being overweight and not having the self-confidence and feeling like everybody's watching you. If you're coming into a gym or a private studio or doing it virtually, that's why a lot of women like to do it in there, mm-hmm. Is because it's comfortable, but you know, just taking that first step, talking to a professional who's been there, that's the hardest step.
You have got to take that first step, whether it's, you know, one of the things that I ran that half marathon once, which I'll never do again. but it was a good experience for me, but people were always shocked. They'd be like, oh my gosh, you ran half a marathon. How'd you do that? And they were surprised to hear me say, well, I was out in February running 9 miles in the sleep. You know, you just don't wake up one day and run half a marathon. Well, I guess some people probably could, but I couldn't at 52 or whatever age I was. So people, you know, they have this, this idea that it has to happen yesterday or they're not interested. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, you've got to take that first step.
It's not a quick fix.
No.
It took me a year and a half. And some people say, wow, that was fast. Well, maybe it was, but it took me a year and a half because I did it the right way. I did it with exercise and nutrition because I had food allergies. So I was kind of forced to change the way I ate because I was so bloated and I was so lethargic all the time. And I had this brain fog and couldn't think clearly. I felt like I had diabetes while I was pre-diabetic, but you know, it's that first step. I think to loving yourself, that's the hardest. I think as women, we are always taking care of our husbands, our children, our jobs, everyone else. But when it comes to loving ourselves, that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, I was brought up the good old country way that women serve the men and blah, blah, blah. You always took care of everyone else.
Yeah.
But when I learned to start loving myself and putting myself first, that I'm realizing that I was doing this for myself, now my husband, not anyone else. I was doing this for my health and realize how I felt. That motivated me to keep going. That's what got me to world championships. That's what's got me, you know, on the podium. Those are accomplishments, but you know, the way that I feel now, just like I was reading an article about a 72-year-old woman doing marathons at a 7:49 pace.
No way. Oh my gosh.
72. I read it. I needed to post it.
Wow.
But I had to get to a client. I had just finished reading it and I was like, I need to post
that this. That is phenomenal.
That's it. For one, that's genes, like they said.
Crazy.
But two, her motivation at 72. Mm-hmm. 72.
Well, just to run that pace.
Yes, at that age.
I mean, 72 in and of itself is fantastic, but that pace. This is coming from someone who runs a 12-minute mile.
Hey, you're doing it.
That's right.
You know?
My gosh. Well, good for her. Good for her.
Yeah.
Well, Heather, you are so fun and so inspirational. I have loved talking with you, and I am sure that you'll be hearing from my listeners, women over 50. This gal's got it going on. So,
thank you.
All right. But thanks, Heather. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. And until next time, stay awesome. Just a quick reminder before I let you go, check out our Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. There are over 600 other fabulous women in that group just like you. I'll place the link to the group into the show notes.